As part of our excellence in government programs and our entire Center for Government Leadership, we've actually identified innovation as being one of the critical leverage points for government really to be effective. So in looking at it in that context, looking at the employee viewpoint survey, which feeds into best places, you know, a lot of conversation around what it takes to get the job done. And I think one of the things that we've not stumbled across, but really intentionally identified is innovation is what separates a lot of private sector companies from one another. And within government, to what extent is or is not innovation taking place?
And innovation in government, it's been thought of, I think incorrectly, of course, but been thought of to be an oxymoron. But I think it is fair to say, can be difficult in the government.
I think can be difficult, although, you know, certainly innovation has taken place. So, you know, if you look at things like the Internet, for instance, well, we can thank government for the Internet and specifically the Department of Defense. We can, you know, thank NASA for the use of cell phones or, you know, curse NASA because of cell phones,
right.
Whatever the case might
or
be.
Or GPS as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So great innovations that are actually taking place in government. So it can happen, but I think it is sometimes difficult. And recently, I think there's been a lot of talk about innovation. In fact, even in the President's State of the Union address, the President himself said, you know, really called on government to spur innovation through promising new federal investments in education and biomedicine and technology and clean energy. But what does that really mean? And how does government innovate? What the very short report that we did with IDEO was designed to do is address those issues. How do you innovate in government? What really is innovation? And what are some of those barriers? And how can you jump the hurdle?
And one of my favorite parts of this report, which I was reading last night, is right up at the front. It's where they say innovation, not simply a one-time project or a new online tool, is a learned process that requires a shift in thinking, a disciplined approach, and strong leadership.
That's exactly right. And I think, you know, too often what we think of as innovation is, okay, we've developed a tool and therefore we're innovating. President Sableward, TSA's Idea Factory, I know you've talked about both of those on your show in the past, are solutions designed really to generate creativity and innovation and are good steps in the right direction. But at the same time, government itself doesn't have that grassroots innovation or that culture of innovation where ideas emerge at any time and in any place. So, you know, and I think a great example of that was even within the context of the SAVE Award. You know, one of the ideas there was for DHS to shift from a paper payroll system to an electronic filing system.
Yeah.
Great innovation, but you shouldn't need a President's SAVE Award or an idea factory to generate that idea. Those types of ideas ought to be ingrained in everything that we do, and it really is about, you know, having the good idea. You talked about leadership being critical to this, and I think that's oftentimes where those who are attempting to really innovate within government often hit their head against the wall, is that they've got a great idea, they've got a plan for implementing, but for some reason or another, they can't get the appropriate leadership buy-in. And then I think finally, Chris, you know, there's certainly some level of risk-taking that's involved in this as well, is that innovation in and of itself may not mean an entirely new initiative. It may mean applying something that's worked in another scenario to your type of work. But ultimately, it's probably doing things differently than what you've done. And with that, and with congressional oversight and everything else, may come some risks. And government's not good at rewarding risks.
So as I was reading this, a couple things came to mind. One is, with innovation, with that is a risk of potentially failure, and the government doesn't deal well, the whole system doesn't deal well with failure.
Absolutely. There was a great quote captured from one of the individuals that was interviewed and to put this report together, and they basically said, I want to be innovative, but not so innovative that anyone will pay attention.
Right. They almost flow below the radar.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And in some ways, that was one of the lessons from the Internet. You know, the development team for the Internet, they were operating sort of quietly over at then ARPA, now DARPA. It seems like what we need to do is have processes for understanding the risk and then doing that smartly. And so you don't do everything being very risky. You're smart about what you take risk on.
That's one of the things that, you know, just the conversation about innovation in government actually causes some folks to shudder a little bit.
Yeah.
And innovation, again, doesn't have to be something entirely untested and a brand new idea. It can, in fact, simply be, you know, adopting or adapting a tried and true idea to a new context. it's important that we are on the leading edge and looking at new, more effective ways to deliver services. And I think that's actually probably one of the greatest barriers, at least the cultural barrier that's at play here is, you know, ultimately government to some extent was designed to perform reliably, not necessarily to adopt to changing circumstances. So you look at something even as, I'll say simple, it's certainly not a simple task. If you look at the Postal Service, designed to perform reliably, you know, in sleet and snow and rain and everything else,
right,
we're going to get your mail to you. But now that we've got external competition, how does that factor in? How do we, you know, now with the internet and people needing stuff immediately, how does that change the way that we do business? How does that change the way that we're actually thinking about how we're delivering programs or services? And again, that's something that doesn't come naturally to us. We need it to, I think the great thing about the report is it actually also provides a framework for looking at how you empower or encourage innovation within your agency and what some of those key elements are as well.
Actually, a lot of conversation about this report on Twitter, and one of the people asked, you talk about creating almost a venture capital kind, and we've seen that with the CIA, with their InQtel, NASA's done it to some degree. Again, also very hard for government to do that, and there are some real challenges for doing that, whether it's internally or externally. Congress tends to not like those things.
One of the key pieces, you know, for me in this report was there's a section in there about really who's responsible for innovation and who's responsible for innovating. And the response is two words, and I think this really sums it up for everybody who's listening as well. You are. Wherever you are in your agency, whatever you're doing, what are you doing to think about how you more effectively provide services or programs to the American people? And that may be not simply doing it the same old way. It may be tweaking around the edges. Again, innovation doesn't have to be completely turning things upside down. How do you look at an issue, a challenge, in a new light? That's really what innovation is about, and that really is what we have to be about in order to face some really daunting tasks right now.
Sometimes the biggest challenge is in the implementation of it. That's what a lot of the conversation on Twitter was about, was, great, we want to innovate. Actually making it happen can be challenging.
And again, I think, you know, understanding where those challenges are within your individual agency is actually the key to then being able to really move the ball forward.
I got to ask you, because I know you're going off to, you're having a little weekend getaway.
I am having a little weekend.
It sounds so exciting. I've never done it. You're going to the Super Bowl.
I am going to the big game.
How cool is that?
It's very cool.
And you're a big fan of one of these teams.
Big Green Bay fan, lifelong Green Bay fans. Once in a life opportunity.
Apparently weather will cooperate, so it'll be nice, but have a great time.
Thank you. Thanks.
And we'll get a Super Bowl report when you come back.
Hopefully it'll be a good one for me.